All right, I'm going to talk about our inheritance as New Covenant believers. So if you look on the screen there, you'll see a list of things, and we're just going to go through them. These are the things that we've been given, and I just wrote them and put them in the computer this morning just as something. And if you want to get excited about these, you can clap for everyone, you can do what you like, but I'm not going to put any comment on them. Okay. Next one. Not too quick. Let them think about it. We should have music and we can explode each one onto the screen, you know. Yeah, that's the way. Be spontaneous. You like that?
Yes.
Keep it going. Wholeness, well-being, salvation. That's what the word means. Takers of the believer's rest. Hebrews 4. The other one was Galatians 3, 29, Abraham's heirs. Dominion over sin, sin consciousness, Hebrews, and also Romans 6, verse 14.
Amen.
Bought with a great price, amen? These are all part of our inheritance. Made holy means set apart. Made set apart. Give a cheer if you want to, man, I tell you. This is your church. Make it as exciting. This is your church. Make it as exciting as you want. We are saints and also priests.
Yes.
Yeah, we've been given lots of grace gifts, right? Condemnation. Isn't that amazing? What a list. I thought of about 40, I put in 30. Anointed, empowered by the Holy Ghost coming on us. Didn't have that in the Old Testament for all of us.
Amen.
Yeah. How are you guys going down that end? Any amens coming from your end down there? I know it's like the silent movies. Just hold that one for a moment. When we die, we don't say goodbye to our fellow believers. We say, see you later. That's a great truth. So our inheritance is we're all going to be with the Lord. Okay. We are called into abundant living. He that hath the Son has life and has it an ever-increasing abundance. Okay, I think that's it. All right, so I want to talk today about our inheritance. I heard Dan mention that today, but he didn't know what we were speaking on, but I just want to share with you today. So can we go now to slide two? Thanks. Oh, just slide one will do. Slide one, yeah. Put it up on the big screen there. And here we go. So, and a second press, please. It's animated. Second tick, second click. Thank you. Yeah. So you are an heir of God. This word inheritance, kleros, means a portion. And that word kleros. Now, I just want to say something about using the Greek, because someone mentioned to me about how we use the Greek in this church and it's a bit boring or it's not good. And I just want to tell you, the Bible wasn't written in English. And when you get it into English, it's actually sometimes not quite the meaning that it's meant to be. Or it's been translated by a church, group of people in the Anglican church or whatever, that want it to sound like it's fit for them. So we call it dilution or adulteration or something like that of the truth. So when we go in and look at it and we just go into the Greek and see with grace eyes to see what it really is. And this here, birthright, it comes from this old Greek word where you cut the kindling wood for the fire and you would have small portions. And you would take some of that portion and sell it to someone for their fire and another to their fire, and they were called portions. And this is actually how we actually get this word, kleronimaha. Kleronimaha, okay? It's a possession or a portion of which one enters into in virtue of sonship. So all of us as believers have an inheritance. Now, there's one difference between an inheritance that we get from our physical, maybe mother or father or our grandmother or whatever. It's a bit different here because as soon as we come into Christ, we are legally an inheritor, an heir. And so that was that's the Jewish understanding. And the Jewish understanding is that, like the prodigal son, when he wanted to get his money, he legally was entitled to 1/3. His father hadn't died. So the father would pay him out, buy back from him his share, or the other son might buy him out or buy back his share, etc. So that's how he got his third, and they kept the property. I guess that's how it happened anyway. But we are all heirs of God. That's amazing. Next one. All right. Now, let's look at Galatians 4, 5, and 7. To purchase the freedom of, ransom, to redeem, to atone for those who are subject to the law, that we might be adopted and have sonship conferred upon us and be recognized as God's sons. That's an amazing thing, to walk in the awareness that this wonderful God that made the universe, you know, we are now sons and daughters. What an inheritance. So that means we can reign in the world and the world belongs to us, etc. It doesn't belong not to us. It belongs to our Father whose children we are. All right, next one. So verse 6, it says, and because you really are his sons, it's interesting, because you really are his sons, God has sent the Holy Spirit of the Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, bondservant, but a son. So in this life, we're not slaves. We're sons and daughters. And if a son, then it follows that you are an heir by the aid of God through Christ. So if you want to at any stage, it's your church. Okay, rather than me ask you to clap, if you want to at any stage clap, will anybody feel embarrassed if your neighbor claps? Okay, I'll leave it with you. If you want to thank him, if you want to shout out, thank you, Jesus, you can. Because it's your Christian life, it's your church. Here we go. Let's go on then to the next one, please, slide 3. So you've got all your notes here in the slides. Now it says you are a joint heir with Christ. So you're not only are we sons and daughters, but because we are sons and daughters, we are joint heirs. We are joint heirs.
Yes.
The Spirit himself testifies together with our own spirit. So the Spirit witnesses with our human spirit that we are children of God. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. That is amazing. That's amazing. So a lot of people say in the grace, in understanding grace, they say, as Jesus is in the world, so are we. Is he sick?
No.
Is he tired?
No.
Is he stressed?
No.
Is he rich?
Yes.
So really, when you think of this, we're joint sharers with Christ in the riches of his glory, in his grace. And it says, only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. Now, did Jesus suffer? Yes. Well, I'm not talking about the cross. Was there any other areas in his life when he suffered? I'll give you an indication. When he preached his first sermon, okay, that he was the Christ, what happened? First sermon. You don't need a whisper. I can't hear you if you whisper.
Tried to throw him off a cliff.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Tried to throw him off a cliff. And in his own hometown, how would you feel? Did he suffer at all then?
Yes.
He suffered. He suffered rejection. It might be like us wanting to tell someone in our university or something about Christ, and they say, oh, you don't believe in that crap, do you? You know, and you might feel, oh, wow, I just lost a friend there or something. But in actual fact, you know, it's good for them. It's really good for them to understand. I'll never forget Diane and I two or three years ago, watching Sky News, maybe 4 years ago now, Paul Murray live. How many have heard of Paul Murray live? How many of you watch Sky News at all? I know there's not many in our church watch Sky News, just one of you. That's amazing, isn't it? Wow, we just love that. You can't afford Foxtel. Oh, well, I thought our God was rich myself, but I thought the pension didn't in any way circumscribe your wealth. But anyway, I understand what you're saying, Lorraine. But on there's a guy who calls himself a bogan, and he's a nice guy. And recently he lost a child, for their first child, and there were so many thousands of Australians said they were praying for him, and it was really nice to see how people were affected by that. That they empathized and sympathized, particularly empathized with him. But when he started his program, every few minutes he would say, oh, Jesus. You know, he would just use that as an expletive. What's wrong with this stupid prime minister? Jesus, he's just shocking. You know, and he'd say, oh, Jesus, that was terrible, you know. And Diane and I sat there and we thought, boy, if he said, oh, Muhammad, you know, instead of Jesus, the jolly country would be in an uproar. But because this is a Christian country for so-called Christian country, it's not really, but there are Christians here, we often tolerate things that perhaps we shouldn't. So we decided to get on the phone and ring, and we could hear him talking there as we got right through to the studio, which was great. And we could hear him on the program that we were listening on our TV. So the lady, the receptionist or whoever it was, one of the ladies there, she said, yes, is Paul Murray live? And we said, look, we both had different terms at doing this. We said it twice to him. We said, we love Paul. We really love this guy. We're touched by the loss of his child, and we prayed for him. And we love the fact that he's a bogan, and, you know, he smokes a big fat cigar. You know, we just love this guy. But I tell you what, there's someone else that we love even more. And the lady said, what is it? Get on with it. And I said, it's Jesus. She said, Jesus. I said, Jesus. And she said, so you love him? I said, we really love him. We've just given our lives and we follow him. We worship him. We help other people to meet him. I said, we absolutely adore him, and we're just average Australians too. And I said, we just can't stand the way our best mate, our best friend's name is used as an expletive. Oh, she said, we'll pass that on to Paul straight away. And then we rang one more time the same day, because he kept on doing, he obviously hadn't had the message. But anyway, the next day he said, I need to announce across the television, right across Sky News, which goes worldwide. You know, he said goes into New Zealand as well. There has been some complaints that I use this name Jesus. He said, I will never use that name again. It's amazing. And he hasn't. Has he died? He never has. And you know what? He's become very sympathetic to the Christians. He said 65% of people in the last census, not this last one that was a botch, but the one before that, he said they're Christians in Australia. They are the majority. Why don't we listen to them? And he's become much more affected. Now, that is not my message. My message is just simply this, that it says here, if we are his children, then we are his heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. We're shareholders together. But it's more than shareholders, we're heirs of the inheritance that God's got for us and in the future. Sharing his inheritance, only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. And the New Testament church people really did share in sufferings in quite a mighty way. Thank you. All right, now this one, I just put this up there and then we're going to read one of the separate handouts. God, the scriptures say, God has qualified us. It says, look, Colossians 1, 12, 14. Can you see it in your notes? Slide 4. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints. Amen. That portion. He's made us fit. He is qualified. How many times do you think the enemy would like to tell you that you have been disqualified? You know, how many times do you feel that? Sometimes, you know, if something's gone wrong in your life and you've done something, you think, man, I... See, our whole society is based on meritocracy. So we think God will qualify us or would want to talk to us if we did something correct. And if we do something wrong, God's against us. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So we forget, of course, that he's forgiven all our sins. And that he's now made a clean slate for us as Christians. Hey, guys, come in. I'll say that so everybody will turn around and look at your good family. So nice to see you. I guess all the interviews are coming up, are they? All the interviews. Are all the interviews coming up? Yes? No? Well, there you go. Some. All right. Now it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, which means forgiveness of sins. So all I just want to say to you, look at yourself, put your hands on your hips or your tummy or wherever, on your head or whatever, and just say, I am fully qualified to share in the inheritance. He is my righteousness. I am his son. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. He has fully qualified me. And who did the work to qualify you?
Jesus
did it. Look what it means. Hikanu, look, means to render fit, up the top there. To render fit. To make sufficient, to make able to partake of the inheritance. Isn't that amazing? So in our society, now and again, an auntie will die or one of your relatives and you might get something given to you, surprise, sort of like surprise money. And you might not have seen auntie and you might think, boy, I wish I'd talked to her a lot more before that. She might have given me more. You know, or someone comes in, you know, someone plays the pokies or someone, you know, gets a windfall like Pastor Sid, you know, someone gave him a lottery ticket. By the way, he's doing all right, as far as I know, as far as I know. I haven't rung him this morning, but he's had 3 operations this week. And what I just want to say there is that sometimes we think if I'd only sort of, you know, anyway, Pastor Sid was given by a guy in his work and many, many years ago, and he won, with that ticket, he won a farm up in the top of the ranges there at, from the Gold Coast, what do you call them up there? No, at the top on the mountains. Tambourine or Beachmont, just further on. And then he won a car and he won a boat. It's pretty cool. Pretty cool, huh? And then everybody was sort of like, you know, friends, oh, I must get to know Pastor Sid, you know, he just might. So, you know, look, I'm telling you, while we were sinners, he cut this contract for us. He saw you qualified through the blood of Jesus Christ before you ever knew him. So why are you trying to cuddle up to him now to feel like your cuddling up will give you more? He made it totally available to us. Amen. Totally available. Yeah, amen. That's good. That's good to see you spontaneous. He made it totally available. We do not have to do something now as Christians to qualify. We stand qualified. Amen. Glory to God. All right, now I've been reading Andrew Womack, and I'd like you to go to the little page that's clipped on. The little page that's clipped on. Please. I think that's where we're meant to go. Oh, maybe be just before we go to that, can you look at the one that's all alone, the page that's all alone? Oh, poor page. All alone. Now, let's just read down the black print, two-thirds down, Ephesians 1, 15 and 23. Are you ready? Would you like to read with me, guys? Okay, one, two. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all P&P and might and D and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. Now, look at this. And gave him to the head over all things to the church, which is body, the fullness of him. So it was really obvious when Paul wrote this, how many like that passage, that he's praying to the Ephesus church, which was a big church, and it was a grace church. And it was one of the churches he planted. So he felt like a father to it, and he did. He did feel like a father to that church. And a number of people then visited that church, and I think John wrote some of his, the gospel in that. He came from the Isle of Patmos and was resident there for a few years before he died. So Ephesus was an amazing church. But the thing he prayed for them most, he prayed that their eyes would be opened to see that they were inheritors, that they had an inheritance. You know what I mean? That they, he said, the eyes of your heart will be enlightened that you might know your inheritance with the saints or in the saints. All right, let's go now. Leave that on, and we'll go. Oh, in fact, you could go. You could go, please. You could go to where it says we've got access. Can you please go to slide seven? Maybe slide seven. Put on slide seven, and then we'll read this. We'll just leave slide seven so you can see it. Slide seven, guys. Slide seven. Slide seven. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, we want to talk about this because Andrew Womack, he's just so good a writer. He's got about, I think, 90 Grace Bible colleges around the world. So it's amazing. And he's a very good author. And he brings this verse. He's not talking about inheritance, but he brings this verse about faith and walking in grace. And Romans 5, 1 and 2, therefore, since we are justified, who's justified? You've got that. See, we've got this inheritance now as well. And then later on in heaven, even more. See? Given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation. And this word peace of reconciliation, Irene in the Septuagint, literally means that 250 years before Jesus came, the Septuagint, the Old Testament was put in Greek, and it says Irene is similar to salvation. It literally means wholeness, well-being in all your life. That's what the peace of God means. And the Jews would say that. They would say, shalom, shalom. And it literally meant, be well, do well, family blessed, business blessed, good health. Now, that's what Jesus was. He was the shalom offering in Leviticus. Now, I love this bit. He says, verse 2, through him also we have our access, entrance, admission, introduction by faith into this grace in which we firmly stand. So let's read what Andrew Womack says about that. And I think you'll enjoy it. You'll get the idea that Purse is talking about. All right, let's go to the first page where it's got faith equals rest and rest finds grace. Can you, the next page, not the single page, but the one that's clipped on to your notes. The one that's clipped on. It's, I think, page 42 and 43, 44, 45. Can you see it there?
Yes.
Yeah? You want to have a look, Doug? It will really help you. Yeah. Have a look. Have a look. Okay? All right? You'll just say yes in a big voice if you all got it. Okay. God's grace, so it says we have peace with God by whom, what? We have access by faith into this grace. So that's what I just want to emphasize. God's grace is consistent toward everyone, but not everyone reaps its benefits. Why? Because faith is how you gain access to God's grace. We're all taught in Ephesians, by grace are you saved through faith. Right? Now, access means admission. If you go to the movies, you pay a price for admission. What's the price of admission to God's grace? Religion will tell you it's what? Certain actions, minds have gone a bit fuzzy here, such as holiness, being good, attending church, paying your tithes. If you do this and that, then maybe God will give you access, admission. This verse says that faith is what grants you admission. But faith in what? Not faith in yourself or your own performance, but faith in a Savior. Faith is God's grace, faith in God's grace. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing you have to pay admission. That's all. That's the only thing that can grant you access into the grace of God. Faith. Faith is believing that the gospel is true. Now, hold your breath for a moment. And we'll just cut for a moment. I'll just say, the best thing really I've come to know in my life in grace is this, is that the gospel is the most profound thing I've ever, I did not know, but now I feel it's like the best. It's close to being too good to be true. It's close to being too good to be true. I said close. I didn't say it's too good to be true. I said it's almost too good to be true. It's so amazing what it promises and therefore what we teach. And right teaching is right believing, and right believing is right living. Amen. Who of you would love to be a total success throughout your life? Just a few of you? Total success? Well, man, you hear this, this is just really, really good. So faith, the thing that I've understood about faith is rest. No longer striving, no longer stressed. In you, my Jesus. I think Joey's listening, he's in charge of music. I think we should sing that every month to remind us. Because this world is full of self-effort and is full of striving and straining and bickering and competition and all that. But the Bible, that song that's come from New Creation, no longer striving, no longer stressed. In you, my Jesus, I've found my rest. No longer toiling, hard labor cease. In you, my Jesus, restful increase. Rest is again, it's the state of faith where you are resting in God's ability to get the job done, to bring in the people for your business, to bring in the clients for your business. If you're in real estate, to bring good clients. Same with our church, or to bring you a good wife or a good husband, to bring you good children. You know, rest is just lying flat on your back and saying, I believe. No self-effort. Resting in his ability. Now, let's go on. It says this. It's like the person dangling on a ledge 5 stories high. At this height, they could easily fall and be killed. However, the fire department has come to rescue them. Can you picture it in your mind? Although they're a short distance away, they're ready to catch the dangling person. In order to be saved, the endangered individual needs to trust, let go, and fall into the arms of those waiting to rescue them below. Before they can be saved, they must let go. Before we can receive salvation, we must quit trusting in ourselves. We must let go of our own goodness, which we've been maintaining, and put our trust in the Savior. It's called a step of faith. What we deserve. This can be really scary because the entire world system reinforces our performance, right? Yeah? To get along well with your parents as a child, you perform. You sing your ABCs and they say, boy, you're wonderful because you do this. When you do well, you get a pat on the back. When you do a bad job, you get a pat on the bum. Your good performance is rewarded and your bad performance are punished. Just over the page. Okay, page 44. In relationship, even in marriage, most people give us what we deserve. Your employer doesn't... I'll just get my glasses out on this. It's a bit... My print one, I did it separate, and it's a bit hazy. Give us what we deserve. Your employer doesn't hire you by grace. They give you what you deserve. If you don't perform, you're fired. We've been trained that everything we get is what we deserve. Therefore, letting go of our own performance and coming to God by faith can be pretty scary. Accepting salvation as a free gift apart from any goodness on our own is contrary to everything we've known. That's amazing. Contrary to everything we've known. We just don't know how to relate. There's no role model for such grace. To enter in takes a real step of faith. It takes a genuine confidence in the gospel so that we truly let go of our goodness and performance. This is also the very reason why religious people fiercely oppose the gospel of grace. Listen to this. After working so hard to be holy and good, quote, quote, they hear something like me saying that God accepts us based on faith, not based on our performance. Ouch. This, in a sense, means that all of their good works and efforts is wasted. That's not entirely true. Even though it doesn't gain us anything with God, it does benefit us personally in our relationships with people and by limiting Satan's access maybe to us. But as far as earning us right standing with God, it's worthless. It doesn't provide us with enough goodness to be able to relate to him. The only way we can relate to God is by grace and putting faith in that grace. That's how we gain access. Getting up in the morning, putting your feet down, saying, "Thank you, Lord, for your favor today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your favor on the church this morning." You know, when this brother over here rang me this morning, he rang, because did you see us on the website, did you? Yeah. And he rang me, I didn't know him, but I was just about to come down to church, you know, and he said, and he talked to my wife, and then she passed it over to me, the phone, and he said that, like, he'd like to come and check out our church to see whether it's the real deal or something like that. He wanted to see the church, right? And he said, "I think I'll let my wife and kids sleep in, and I'm coming down," right? Yeah. And I just thought, my spirit just leapt, you know? And I said to him, guess what I said? I said, are you Polynesian or something like that? And he said, "I'm Samoan." And again, my heart just leapt. I said, "Oh, you know," I said, "we're ordaining two people to be pastors in our church, you know, next year." I said, "You know, Henry and Tui," and they've, well, I don't think Tui is a Samoan, is she? She's Tongan. But Henry is a Samoan. And then we have another guy called Tui who's joined the church, who's a Samoan, you know. And guess what? For the last maybe 4 weeks going up to Toowoomba and coming back in the evenings, we've been praying for Samoans to join our church. So, brother, you might be one of them. You know, but it's exciting. I remember when we started the church, you know, we were excited. And I just want to say to you, you know, when you got into the church and you found about this excitement, don't lose that excitement, because when people are coming in after you, they want to feel your excitement. Amen. You know, this is a bit of in-house stuff. I want to just say this, that when we clap or when we have our musicians or music and that, man, we give them the very, you know, we give them God. Amen. Amen. We show, because our enthusiasm is in the Lord. We are people that are heirs of salvation. We have got a wonderful inheritance that God has given us. All those things we saw on screen. How could we not be excited? And when we clap our visitors, how could we not give them the biggest clap? How could we not give them the biggest clap? Well done, guys. Well done. Well done. Okay? So, you know, it's just interesting when people come from New Zealand, other parts of Australia, and they come over here, and they come and, you know, we go, you know, and we forget, you know, the day we came, we were quite nervous, and then we got into it, and we found, hey, this is a good place, man. You know, these people are believing what I'm wanting to believe. Yeah? So I think that's, you know, just by the by. Just a little bit of extra fish bait. For you. Okay, can we just finish this? What love? We have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And that'll be up there. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. That tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. This sounds like King James. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Isn't that amazing? So we don't ever have a bad day. Other people say it was a bad day, but a bad day is for us an opportunity to see the grace of God come in and bless our lives. Amen? This is opportunity, and to grow in His favor and see how the day ends up. Now, some people have used this scripture to teach things that aren't really what this passage is saying. You need to embrace tribulation, brother and sister, because your problems have been sent by God to help you. That's not what this verse is saying. That is not what this verse... We're rejoicing in hope of the glory of God, not only in good times, but also in bad. How can we have such confidence? How can we rejoice when things are going bad? If God loved us enough that while we were still sinners, He commended His love towards us. He loved us before you were ever born. He loved you. He died for you. He loves us. He's now your daddy. Why do we think then we have to keep earning it when he did it before we were even born? How good is he? This knowledge of God's love in our hearts gives us boldness and confidence. We will not be put to shame. Let's go back to slide 8, and we're getting there. We soon will be able to have morning tea or whatever. When we rest, this is sort of like walking now. How do we walk in this inheritance? I reckon the key thing, like one of the things I'll just tell you about our church and that, like we're going down to Cessnock, and we're looking forward to going down there. These are two network churches that are down there that are wanting us to come down and share on grace, etc., etc. Now, one of the things that God has taught me in this last 3 years is to pray for open doors. How many agree with that?
Yes.
You know, when you're wanting to spread the gospel of grace, what's a good thing to pray for? Open doors. That people will come and say to you, hey, I heard you guys speak about grace. Would you like to come to our church? You know, and speak on grace. And one of the things I'm really praying is that I might be invited to a big pastors' conference so that we can influence as many of the pastors as possible. Because they have such a, what would I say, opportunity to open the door for their people to hear this message and not mix it with law or whatever. So, you know, that's something. And we see these little doors opening to us, and I've got no doubt that they're going to get bigger and bigger. And bigger, I got no doubt. Now, I just want you to come and stand up beside me for a moment. I'm glad you're sitting in the front. Nolene is well into her early 80s. That's Nolene, Eileen.
Eileen.
We get a better look at these people here.
Okay.
Okay. She was a pastor in a number of Pentecostal churches. Okay. Jesus. Like me, she did not know grace.
That's right.
But she had the call of God. And so she's been at Bribie, retired over there.
Mm.
And you know what? Since she's heard this message, she says, I need to spend the rest of my life.
Yeah, amen. Thank
and you know
Jesus.
What? There's a door open, number one, door open over in the islands, just out from the city
thank
here.
Jesus.
What's the name of the island?
Russell.
She's going over there to preach the gospel of grace.
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that exciting?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
And we are just praying for open doors that others in you, others that are coming to Bible school and others that feel the call in their life can walk through too.
Amen.
So pray for us as we pray for you.
Amen.
That we might be able to promote you to walk through those doors and carry the gospel of grace. Give her a mighty hand, a mighty hand. Fantastic. Fantastic. It's so encouraging for me to have someone like her around. I just feel like a midget, you know. And, you know, I didn't say misfit, I said a midget. Okay. All right. So one of the things is to rest. Now, people, I want to remind you this. Here, we're nearly through. Look this way, guys. I just know that when you rest, the enemy tries, okay, to distract you from resting. And he'll throw up things. And you'll find, if you're not careful, you go into self-effort again, trying to perform to reach people. Well, one of the things we're not going to do in this church is perform, put on a performance.
Yes.
We're not going to put on a performance.
Yes. Thank you,
Jesus. We're not trying to advertise our church as the best church.
No.
We think it is. Well, I do anyway. At least I'm one of those supporters. Okay. But what we want to do is preach the gospel of grace that you don't have to perform to earn.
Amen.
Amen. The clear message is rest, and he will do the rest.
Amen.
You know? So when we rest as a believer in all areas, the bondwoman and her son. Now, you know this verse very well. If you don't, learn this verse. Because Abraham, he tried to help God out, and he slipped from faith into works, into self-effort. And so he got this lovely lady with Sarah's permission, and they agreed that they should be married. It was then his second wife, and she was a slave girl that worked there in the house. And she conceived, and she had this baby, and they really thought they were in the will of God. But you know what? God said, sorry, it's faith or nothing with me. It's faith or nothing. It's faith or nothing. Now, people like Donald Trump is going to be the prime minister, or the president, sorry, president-elect. People that are non-Christians can build big empires. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, it's faith or nothing. It's not self-performance. Amen? I'm preaching to myself, you know? It's not self-performance. It is resting in his ability. How could we not know his ability when he made the wells? Now, I'll bring your attention to this. Abraham was having trouble having a baby with Sarah, right? And God said to him, why don't you go outside, open your eyes wide, and look at what?
The stars.
The stars. And just see how many there are. You know, sometimes when we haven't got faith for something, we need to go out and look at the stars were there to build a foundation of faith in our lives. To see the Milky Way. It goes on forever, science says. There's no end to this universe. And yet here we are, this beautiful blue planet. And here you and I are sitting and we're spinning around as we sit. Okay, don't spin too far. You might just fall off your chair, you know. Okay. But Abraham, it says it was credited to him. He started to believe what God said. He said, your wife's going to have a baby, etc. Sarah. And faith came into him. He got saved. He flowed in the will of God through simple resting in trust of the ability that God has to get the job done. So why? So would you say as an inheritance, that means where Christians are people that never worry. Christians are people that never worry. Is that true?
Yep.
Is that where it's all headed? It's headed into you being a worried-free person.
That's right.
How many want to live the life of worry-free? Kate, you got your arm filled there. You want to be worry-free? I'll tell you, I'm not saying it's concern-free. I'm saying worry-free.
Yes.
Anxiety-free.
Anxious for nothing.
Stress-free. How many believe that God who sent Jesus, the God who made this universe and sent Jesus, has the ability to answer those things, problems and challenges, and he would love us to be stress-free.
Yes.
Stress-free. Free from stress to rest. For never, read in blue with me, never shall the son of the slave woman be heir and share the inheritance with the son. So the thing that stops us moving in the inheritance, is the mic off?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is down there. Okay. It's all right. I can get it. I can hold it. That's okay. Okay, for never shall the son of a slave woman... Well, I mean, I must be able to hold this, you know, because one day I was preaching in this room. I won't tell you what happened. And everything fell down through here. Yeah. Yeah. So, brethren, we who are born again are not children of a slave woman, but of the supernatural, the free. Come on, come on, come on. What is the entrance into the supernatural? What is it? Simply resting. I don't like to use the word faith very much, actually. I like to use the word rest. It means more to me. Because a lot of churches were faith and faith. You've got to have faith, brother. You've got to have faith. More faith, more faith. Well, Jesus said if you had a grain of mustard seed of faith, you could move a mountain. So you don't need a lot. So it's not meant to be struggled about. Basically, if you know God loves you a lot, there is a residue and deposit of faith in your life. It's already there. Act on it. Stand on it. Look at the stars and say, by my God, I will leap over that wall. Hallelujah. That's the way to do it. All right, 9, 10, and 11, and we're through. Come on then. 9. Galatians 5:1-6. In this freedom, Christ has made us free and completely liberated us. Stand fast then. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And do not be hampered and held and snared and submit again to a yoke of slavery which you once put off. Notice it is I, Paul, who tell you that if you receive circumcision, now this was a problem that they were trying to make them Jews again sort of thing and go back into the law, right? So that's what Galatians was all about. And then he said this amazing statement, Christ will be of no profit to you. Wow. Is it possible then we could be in a grace church and yet you have not profited in this church? Is it possible you've been in this church for 2 or 3 years and you've not felt any profit from this church? Well, I say to you in a lovely manner, I can say to you, yet with strength in my voice, I want to say to this to you. Let go of those things that are opposing faith in your life. Do not feel you have to do things the same way all the time. Let God be creator in your life. We are not bound by traditions. We are not bound by societies. You can't, you cannot. Some of them we are, because the rules of the road are the rules of the road. And we'd be stupid not to obey them. Unless you've got some little car with wings on, if you get on the wrong side. But, you know, apart from that, we are free to be mountain movers in this society. Amen? Oh, of course it'll get dark, but the darker the night, the brighter will our faith, will our rest shine. It's amazing. Well, if you're, if you're getting towards 70 like me, I look back on my life and say, oh, wow, if I'd have just got this then. But Christ would be no profit if I'm in self-effort. Look at this. He says, I once more protest, this is strong language, and testify to every man who receives circumcision, like means puts on something instead of faith, right? That he is under obligation and bound to practice the whole of the law and its ordinances. Next one. 10. Great. If you seek to be justified and declared righteous and to be given a right standing with God through the law, you are brought to nothing. Wow. And so separated, severed from Christ. Wow. Yeah. Well, why is it that some people in a grace church can get sick all the time, can feel all the time? No, it's not because they're in sin. Not at all. Why is it I had to wait 5.5 years to get healed and Lorraine has to suffer like she does? I'm going to wear my shades next week. In Cessnock. Okay. Why is it some of these things happen? Well, they're opportunities, though, to grow in faith. Because, you know, we are healed. Wholeness in every part of me. Deliverance has set me free. I'm reigning with him upon the throne. For we, not relying on the law, but through the Holy Spirit's help, I'd love to hear a clap for that, by faith anticipate and wait for the blessing and good for which our righteousness and right standing with God, our conformity to his will and purpose, thought and action, causes us to have hope. If we are in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith, activated and energized and expressed and working through love. How dynamic it would be if we, you know, we'll be all out of this building probably in an hour. How dynamic. No, we're not going to stop in an hour's time, darling. I saw someone feel really agonized there. I mean, we're going to stop soon, but, you know, we'll be all home or we'll be all gone. Wouldn't it be dynamic if we go out for this week and we all walk in faith? The just shall live by faith. The just shall live. The righteous, it means, just means righteous. The righteous man and woman shall live by resting. By resting. Say it with me. The righteous man and woman shall live by resting. Resting in the finished work. Resting in the fact that you have now inherited so much. So much. What no wonder it's called the gospel, the good news. All right, I finish on slide 11. To be continued. So I've got a lot more to say. I'd love to say about that. Spoudazo is spelt spoudazo, but it's pronounced spoudadso, and it comes, doesn't it, from Hebrews 4, where that verse it says, run into rest or labor to enter into rest. And as you know, we've taught in this church a number of times, it literally means hasten into rest. Hasten. What does hasten mean, Bev? Quickly, quickly. So we're going to have a little time where you press button delete and then press button inheritance and say it's all mine. Amen. Get all the delete, cast out that, and then just claim now everything. Simple childlike trust. Everything you've said in your word. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Then how does it go? That a divine, every promise in the book is mine. Now, just reading here. See you 25th, Narangba. Okay, now 25th, if any of you are coming up to Narangba, we're having a big Christmas do up there. You need to be there at 10 in the morning. And 25th of November, 27th this month, 27th, that's not far away, right? Toowoomba and Tennyson, we're going to have a big sort of thing, Christmas sort of thing. And then Christmas service you're going to have down at the Oxley Bowls Club, okay, because it falls on that day. And then 25th, a welcome home to Grace in Toowoomba. Please come. If you come, bring someone who doesn't know about Grace.
Yeah, that's right.
Lots of Christians, but bring someone who doesn't fully understand Grace, and we're going to have a wonderful time up there. All right, now let's just close and respond to the message. Let's turn off our stuff and we'll respond. Okay. Now I would like to do this for myself, and I ask you to do it. Would you press button delete? Now most of us are computer oriented people now. Press button delete on what's been on your screen in your life. That's self-effort or tradition. This is a big call for older people because older people have more time to collect some baggage sometimes. Press button delete on every bit of self-effort. Is your screen clear? Is the screen clear in your mind? Is it clear now? Trying to perform in front of your wife, trying to perform in front of your husband. I'm not talking about sexually performing. I'm just talking about trying yourself to be the person some of others want you to be. Let God do it. Now, click on my inheritance. Click it on now. Go on. I just encourage you to just all those things we put on the screen. I am the temple of God. The Holy Spirit writes his ways on my mind. I am an heir to an amazing inheritance. Now, can you brighten your screen? Because Paul prayed this, that the eyes of your heart and mind will be enlightened, that you might know. Now, if you don't know what's about to come on your screen, inheritance, you go back home and look at your notes. Now, you won't have all those things I said, so you might like to get a file off me and I'll email it to you. Or photocopy, send it, but I can email it to you, the file. And say, Lord, every one of those beautiful things you've done for me, by your grace, by your grace alone, I will walk in them. And I will be a person full of grace and full of truth. Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me. Jesus, I just pray that you will lift us all up free from self-effort. I just give these people to you, Lord, in my intercessory prayer now. And I ask you that we will have a redeemed community who flow in the grace of Jesus Christ, who are full of the Holy Spirit and full of grace. And all the traditions of the past will be cast out, especially those where we feel we have to raise money. You know, this church doesn't have to raise money because why not? Goodness and mercy flows after us. We don't have to race around begging. We don't have to perform. God, by his Spirit, is whom we trust.
Yes.
And he will speak on our behalf.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Jesus, it seems so simple. It's almost too good to be true. But it is true. Now, I pray, Lord, that their screens will explode right now. Seeing themselves being people who receive grace through the access of trust. Grace is accessed by resting and trusting in him. Oh, Father, we thank you for this word today. I pray, Lord, that all of us will have the joy of seeing it worked out in our lives. Now, Lord, for those that will leave us soon and go on holiday, we pray for Joey and Daisy. You'll bless them and the little baby she carries too, Lord. We're so thrilled with Joey and Daisy, Lord. We love them so much. Some of us, Lord, are going off fishing. Others are going off all sorts of places. Lord, take care of every one of the members of this church. Now, Lord, especially those that are going to the tribunal in the next few days. Lord, give them freedom from stress. Trust in you. Because that's what pleases the Lord. And it's that what causes him to press the button of grace in your life. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for grace, for your beautiful kingdom of grace. You rule in grace. You reign in grace. You don't reign in humans religiously trying to follow you. Thank you, Jesus. You're so beautiful. Thank you for showing us the way. And we pray that many of our dear ones over Christmas, our children, will reach out to you and find you. And everyone said, okay, now as we get to the 25th, I've asked them to hurry up.